And in Turkey, Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan is claiming victory after Sunday's local elections.
This is the wedding day of the new Turkey. Today is the victory day of the new Turkey. 77 million united and together as brothers.
Erdogan was not on the ballot, but he campaigned as if he was. And the strong showing by his Justice and Development Party is giving him a boost after a spate of recent troubles, including a corruption scandal and those recent bans on Twitter and YouTube in Turkey that we've talked about. Erdogan has been in power for a little more than a decade, and the Turkey he is building is a very different Turkey than the one envisioned by the country's modern founder, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. And we're going to talk about that now with Stephen Kinzer. He's a visiting fellow at the Watson Institute for International Studies at Brown. He's author of Crescent and Star, Turkey Between Two Worlds, and he joins us in the studio. Stephen, welcome back to Here and Now.
Always good to be here.
Well, as I was reading up on Atatürk, I came across a documentary that was done by Walter Cronkite back in 1958. It's called The Incredible Turk. He calls him the man who brought Turkey out of the Middle Ages and into the 20th century.
First president of the First Turkish Republic, Mustafa Kemal, during the 1920s, keeps his limitless wartime powers and his command of the army, makes the hard, dry town of Ankara his capital. His fantastic dream is not of empire or conquest, but of creating a democratic Turkey, a new kind of Turk in his lifetime.
Stephen Kinzer, give us the brief bio of Atatürk.
Atatürk really was a remarkable figure. I think he can qualify as the most successful revolutionary of the 20th century. There are really three different phases of his career. First of all, during World War I, he was the only Turkish general to win a battle. So he came out of the war with quite a bit of prestige. After the war, Turkey was on the losing side. The winning parties decided that to punish Turkey for being on the wrong side, they would slice Turkey into pieces and give most of it away to European powers like France and Italy and Greece. It was Kemal Atatürk who then rose up and said, although our government has agreed to this, we, the Turkish people, are not going to agree. And in this ruined nation, he raised a guerrilla army which went on to defeat all the big powers of Europe. That established the Republic of Turkey. This country would not exist as we know it without Atatürk. And then he went on to become the first president of this new republic and imposed a slashing series of reforms that completely changed Turkey. It became the first Muslim country with a constitution. He crushed religious rule, imposed civil and criminal codes that he imported from Europe, changed the calendars, changed the scripts. People have tried to use adjectives and analogies to describe what he did, like nuclear bomb. It was like a tornado, like a hurricane, an earthquake. But none of these can really capture the huge changes that Atatürk brought to Turkey.
Well, let's talk about the secular part of his vision. He wanted a secular Turkey. He did not want people wearing a fez if it was a man or a headscarf if it was a woman.
That's right. Religious power was probably the number one target of Atatürk. He crushed all the religious sects. He ended religious courts. He established civil education. And this naturally produced some reaction. But because Atatürk's rule was repressive during that period, people could not protest. Now, over many decades, it became part of every Turk's obligation to proclaim their love for Atatürk and their embrace of all of his secular ideals. We were never sure during this long period whether all Turks actually had accepted these reforms or were they a little bit negative about them or dubious under the surface. Now, as in the last 15 years, the lid has been taken off in Turkey and it really has emerged as a full democracy, we find the pendulum swinging a little further back. And it turns out that there are a number of Turks who still are devout religious believers. And those are people who have formed the basis of the voting bloc that has made the new prime minister, or the prime minister over the last 10 years, Tayyip Erdogan, so popular.
But Atatürk was embraced by the United States. Here he is speaking to the press. The first voice we hear is actually the American ambassador, Joseph Clark Grew, who's standing next to him.
The name of Gazi Mustafa Kemal will forever be associated with the development, founding of the new modern Turkish state, and will forever be inscribed indelibly upon the rolls of history.
Türk milleti tabii demokrattır.
The Turkish nation is democratic by nature.
Zaten çok yükselmiş bulunan Amerika milletinin Türk milleti.
I have no doubt that the American nation, which has gone so far in this ideal, is Turkey's friend in her aims.
You hear that and you think now of the relationship between the U.S. and Turkey as nothing as like that strong. What happened?
I actually think the relationship between Turkey and the United States is still quite good. It's not as good as it was 5 years ago because Erdogan has taken some steps that have naturally alienated some people in the United States. Nonetheless, I think it was Atatürk's idea that Turkey should develop into a full democracy in which the voters would have the final say. That's what's happened. Now, the voters have not perhaps chosen the option that Atatürk would have dreamed of 70 years ago. Nonetheless, I think that he has left a positive legacy, and it's Atatürk who has made Tayyip Erdogan possible, and I think probably everybody in Turkey realizes this. The Americans see Turkey as a very important country because it stands as a model for the fact that Islam and democracy are compatible. That is exactly why, when Turkey, through Prime Minister Erdogan, seems to be becoming less democratic, this is a very concerning development in Washington.
On Friday, we spoke with Elmira Beyrazli, who's a fellow at the World Policy Institute, and she described yesterday's election as a choice for the Turkish people. Let's listen.
Do they support Erdogan's worldview of the underdog Black Turk, the people who have long been suppressed in Turkey, or are they going to be voting on the side of the fierce secularists and the people who really want to uphold Atatürk's principles?
So, Stephen Kinzer, you're saying the answer is they want Erdogan's version of Turkey.
I think that's quite clear that the large majority or more people want Erdogan, let's put it this way, than want anyone else. The opposition in Turkey has never managed to produce anybody to be an effective counterpart to Erdogan. Nonetheless, I do think that the Turkish system is strong enough to right itself. Turkey's going through a little rough patch in the last year or so, but I don't see this as a disaster for Turkey. I think there is enough roots to Turkish democracy so that this situation will correct itself over time.
What should the U.S. be doing?
I think it's very important for the United States not to break with Turkey. I think we need to be encouraging the rule of law in Turkey. But there's a limited amount to what we can do. It's not the United States' role to go shaking a finger in everybody's face and telling them how to govern their countries. Now, Turkey is a NATO ally, and it has very important security obligations to the alliance and to the United States. In those situations, the United States has a right to make demands, and I think Erdogan is very receptive to those. But when it comes to domestic politics and how Erdogan runs his country, I think his prickly personality suggests that he would not react well to lectures from the United States.
Stephen Kinzer, visiting fellow at the Watson Institute for International Studies at Brown, and he's the author of Crescent and Star, Turkey Between Two Worlds. Stephen, thanks so much.
Thank you.